Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Today, you may be feeling like you are on the mountaintop. You are in your winning season. But I also know that there's some of us in this room that feel discouraged. And you're not in your winning season just yet. But you're going to get there. You're going to get there. I want to share just a little bit of a scripture found in Acts, and it was when Paul and Silas were in prison. Say prison. Now, I know we're going through some stuff, but we're not in prison. And what happened when they were in prison? They did not stop their worship. They did not stop their praise. As a matter of fact, they did it all the more. And several versions, I checked several versions. It said about midnight. About midnight. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, about midnight. About midnight. There's a song on my playlist that I love. And this morning I came in because I felt like the Lord wanted me to read you the lyrics. And I came in and I'm like singing the song to everybody and nobody knew the song. And I'm like, I know this song, but I couldn't figure out how I knew it. But it's from a song called Worship Works. Listen to the bridge of this song. It says, late in the midnight hour, feel the earth shake. Feel the earth start to shake. Hear the chains, hear the change. Late in the midnight hour, soon as I start to praise, hear them break. Hear them break. So if you're discouraged this morning, I want you to look up. If you're discouraged this morning, I want you to know that he will do what he said he was going to do. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I want to preach a message today called The Weight of the Wind. You were at team conference, don't get all upset, because most of the time we need to hear a message more than one time, right? Second of all, Pastor Rich said, ooh, our whole church needs to hear this, not just the people that were there that day. So if you were at conference, hang tight. Let's pray over this message. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, you know where every heart, every soul is right now. You know that if they're winning, and God, you know if they're discouraged. And I pray, Lord, that the words that you have put in my spirit, that you will touch them with exactly what they need today. Hide me behind the cross and have your way during this service. Amen. We're jumping right into scripture. We're going to read from 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 1. And it said, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you've killed them. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, and he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Have you ever felt like Elijah? Have you ever been in a place where you're so discouraged and you're so defeated that you just want to give up? I'm going going to rewind to chapter 17 and 18 because Elijah wasn't always discouraged. Let me give you a little bit of a backstory. So Elijah was winning before he got to that place. And in chapter 17, there was a severe drought and a famine. And King Ahab, he was just wicked. And as a matter of fact, the Bible said that he was more evil than any king before him. But Elijah was chosen by God to tell King Ahab, "Hey, buddy, it's not going to rain unless I say so." So Elijah was the man. It's a win because God trusted Elijah enough to be the one to go to the king and prophesy that. I know that when God can use you and when God can use me, that's when something happens. So they're deep into the famine, and God tells Elijah in 1 Kings 17, "Then the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food.'" That sounds crazy. Like, really, God? You're going to have birds feed me when everybody else has nothing to eat? But have you had times where God told you to do something and you're like, "What? You're asking me to do that? What are you talking about? Like, that doesn't even make sense." But let me tell you, many, many times your provision is where God is sending you. Your provision is where God is sending you. Are you willing to go wherever it is that he sends you? Just like Elijah, I believe that God has to remind us sometimes by sticking us in a wilderness, by putting us in a famine, whatever, that he is our source. Your 401k is not your source. Your job is not your source. Your family's not your source. Nobody or nothing can give you what God gives you. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He gives you love. He is the one that gives you guidance. Elijah was winning, right? He is winning. And God took care of him even in the famine and gave him influence over the king. Most of you guys were here in the 5 months we were without a worship pastor. And it felt like a famine in the church in the beginning, right? We were like, "What?" We did everything on earth that we could do. We prayed that God would do something. But five months, we're stuck out here in the wilderness. But let me tell you about our team. They were the raven that God used to feed us in that famine. And I know you know the story, but I'm going to share it again because it's just so good. Like, every ad that we had on every hiring website had expired. Like, all of them. Like, what are we going to do now, right? But 3 days after they expired.
3 days!
3 days! Come on, somebody. 3 days! 3 days! Pastor Sam sent us an email. And it is so good when God does that. In chapter 18, let's move on. Elijah had a run-in with King Ahab. Elijah challenges the people of Israel to make a choice. Make a choice. Because they had turned their back on God. Anybody ever been there? Ooh, more times than I can count. But Ahab began arguing with Elijah that the prophets of Baal were bigger and better than his God. So Elijah met the challenge with the challenge. You know anybody like that? I love a challenge with a challenge. But he met the people and Ahab with a challenge. And he said, we're just going to see whose God is real. And do you know what happened? So Ahab kept calling on the prophets of Baal. They just kept screaming, Baal, set fire to this, calling on them. But he never answered. He never sent fire. And Elijah was kind of making fun of him, like, hey, maybe your God's asleep. Or maybe he's on a journey. You better cry louder. But then Elijah called on his God, our God, the name of the Lord. And God showed up and showed them that he was real. Here's what happened. On this altar, they had placed a sacrifice. And they doused it with water, not once, not twice, but three times. And they built a trench around the altar that was also full of water. And then Elijah called on the name of the Lord, and even though it was dripping wet, it lapped up all the fire and burnt the sacrifice. And as we heard in the beginning of chapter 19, that he had gone on from that moment to kill 450 false prophets. You guys have to read the story because it's so good. Elijah was singing the song. All I do is win, no matter what. No matter what, he was winning. God was on his side. But winning, church, brings weight. When you're winning, there's going to be a weight attached to that. Because then in chapter 19, Elijah told God, just kill me now. I cannot keep doing this. Dramatic? I don't think so. But why? Why did Elijah go to that place and just be so down and discouraged? How did he even get there? I believe it was because of the weight of the wind. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that we must be disciplined at to keep winning. And it's called stewardship. So I'm going to make it practical today. I want to break it down and share four things that we have to steward so we can handle the weight of the win. And before I get into this, I want to say this one thing. Too many times we want the blessing, we want the win, but we don't want the burden that gets us there. There is weight to the win. So the first thing that we have to steward is steward the cost. Luke 14 says, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see where there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. I remember that, I guess it's been 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago, when we sat down with Bobby. And we came in this place, and it was a hot mess. The first thing that he did is he went and calculated what the cost was going to be to get it to this place. We must count the cost of our yes before we say it. You guys, this isn't about preaching, leading worship, serving somewhere. It's not about any of that. It's realizing that with every yes you give, there's a cost. Your yes brings responsibility and accountability. Our yes brings weight. Your yes, your new life, gives permission to everybody who knows you to carry the weight of the wind. It lets them know that there is a God that loves them because they can see it on you. They see something different about you. He makes us brand new. He gives us hope. And the world can't give us that. So it is super important that we count the cost of our yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. I think about Carly Ann Chance's yes. About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they started coming. And they both gave their life to Jesus. And because of their yes, their circle of friends saw something different about Carly and Chance. They saw them just loving people more, and they loved people enough already. But they saw them loving people more. They saw that there was a difference on them. And because of their lives, because of their yes, four of their friends from their friend group now have given their life to Jesus and now are following the Lord. The way you steward your yes is a big deal. It's big to God and it's big to everybody around you. You know, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what we do. That's what our yes does. It allows people to follow us, but we're not making up the way. We're following the way. That means you need to steward the cost because people are watching and some people are counting on your yes. They're counting that you don't give up no matter how hard it gets. Number two, steward your soul. This truly is the only way that you can handle the weight of the wind, by stewarding your soul. So let me ask you some questions. How is your prayer life? And I'm not talking about, now I lay me down to sleep, God is great, God is good. I'm saying your prayer life. Are you praying without ceasing all day? And let's not make that too difficult. That just means when the Holy Spirit reminds you of somebody, you lift up a prayer. It means when you're popping off your mouth and you get convicted, you repent right then. In front of everybody, because there's a cost to my yes and there's a cost to my soul. It's all day, every day, telling God, thank you, and I need you. Thank you, and I need you. Do you spend time in worship? Darius Daniels said, prayer gets something from God, but worship gets him. Prayer gets something from God, but worship gets him. Worship's more than a song. It is more than a song. It's expressing adoration. It's saying, God, you can have all of me. You deserve me to love on you in this way. It's pressing in. It's surrender. Are you prioritizing spirit and truth? Church, we got to know the word. We gotta know the word. We gotta speak the word because it doesn't return void. I can sit here and give you advice all day long, but when I speak the word is going to break change. It's gonna do what Mindy's encouragement or advice could never do. The word does not return void. The Bible says that the word of God is a sword. S-W-O-R-D. Did y'all catch what the key word in there is? Word. So we carry our sword, the word, and the word divides our soul and our spirit. The word, when we read it, judges our thoughts and our intentions. Heart check. We can be so super spiritual that we are no earthly good. I mean, we can use all the Christianese. We can say all the churchy things. But at the end of the day, we're not making a difference if we're not loving people. If we're not meeting them where they're at. 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter. But it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Stewarding your soul, and I mean all of it, we've got to steward it all. And you may be finding yourself today where you've been feeling used. I'm just feeling used. That's how your soul is damaged. I'm just feeling used, and you're battling discouragement. I want to share what happened to me. I don't even remember. It was during, right after the pandemic. Pandemic hit. Nobody knew what to do. We didn't know what to do. And Pastor Rich and I just began to just keep our head above the water. Let's try this. Let's do this. Because there was no plan, right? Well, during the same time, I'm going through menopause. So the women in the room, you'll know one day, but I was hot. I was angry. I was struggling. My mind was a mess. I wasn't sleeping. So I had that going on in my soul too. And then my mother passed away. And then people that I'd poured my whole life into for several years left the church. And I hadn't been stewarding my soul. I hadn't been stewarding my soul because I had so much on my plate. And here, the weight of the win pre-pandemic, plus all of that that happened, caused me to not steward my soul. It's the weight of the win is so important. It made the aftermath. I wanted to quit. The aftermath was so bad, I wanted to quit. I was battling discouragement. In chapter 19, we see Elijah sitting in a cave, all by himself, kind of feeling sorry for himself, just having a little pity party. Well, poor pitiful me, I'm the only one left. Poor pitiful me, I'm afraid that Jezebel's gonna kill me. Oh, poor pitiful me, just feeling so sorry for himself. And God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Have you ever heard God say that to you? Why are you at this place? I got something better for you and bigger for you. And Elijah's response, well, I'm the only one left. And so you may find yourself there today that following Jesus makes you feel lonely. Because your friends aren't going the same direction you're going. The people at work aren't going the same direction you're going. And you get really tired of this crazy world going in a way when you are going in the way of Jesus. And we just feel like, ugh, I can't do this anymore. That is why, you guys, when Pastor Jay was up here and she was saying, get in a crew, come through culture, get connected to a serve team. We ask that for you. We ask that for you Because when you do life alone, the enemy shoves you in a corner, and when he isolates, he dominates. And he will eat your lunch, and you will not be able to keep going if you're not stewarding your soul. We have to do that. We get to the point where I just want to quit for whatever reason. Maybe it's because your friends aren't going in the same direction. Number three, steward culture. We have allowed culture to control our church services and sometimes even our theology. Now, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. I'm just going to leave it right there, let you go home, process that with the Holy Spirit. But it has even affected our theology. Culture has us being consumer Christians. We think church is about us. Oh, well, church went too long today. I don't think I'll go back next week. Oh, well, they didn't sing my favorite worship song. I'm just not going to worship today. We want church the way we want it. We go to church to get. I just need a word. I just want to sing those worship songs that make me feel good. But Jesus told us that we go to give. We go to church to get, not to give. We only think the Spirit is moving when we get the goosebumps. Y'all love the goosebumps. I love the goosebumps. I'm like, ooh, okay, what do you want to do, Holy Spirit? And if it goes the way we want. If I'm not getting fed at this church, see ya. I'm going to go to the church down the street so that I can get what I want. And I don't want to take the time to feed myself. We get upset. So we're not going to engage today. I'm not going to honor today. I'm not going to do what I normally do because I'm upset. It's so self-serving. It's consumer Christianity. Truly, 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 gathering on Sundays is not about us. It's about Him. So when we make it about us, we miss out on Holy Spirit encounters. When we come with our arms crossed and say, move me, Lord, instead of saying, I want all that you have for me. Give it all to me. I want encounters. Do y'all want encounters? Let's press in. Let's see what God can do. We need to experience the overwhelming love of God. He's your Father. He loves you. So if it's about us, we get mad. And we go, well, I just feel so used. I'm always up at the church. After we prayed the prayer, God, just use me. God, use me. I'll go, I'll do, I'll say whatever you want. And even Elijah did not realize that being used, he would feel so used. Today, more than ever, I believe we need to disciple ourselves first and foremost and others out of the culture of consumer Christianity. It's always only Jesus. It's always only Jesus. And one of the things I feel like we need to learn is even when we follow the exact plan that we prayed about at staff meeting, Holy Spirit is still moving. Because he speaks to us all differently, right? That's why you read a scripture and get so much. I'm finding that out as reading with all the women. You read a scripture, you get something. I read something and I get something totally different. And so a word might be good for you, or the way it happens is good for you, but that person in the back row, they're back there getting rocked. There are tears flowing down their face. So we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is moving. All you have to do is read the Old Testament. Read the Old Testament. When God gives explicit details, like detail after detail, like umpteen chapters of details of how the tabernacle was supposed to be built. He told them how you bring an offering. He even told them, here's the offering you're going to bring. And he was still moving. People's lives were still being changed. I promise you today that your pastors and your leaders, staff, we really want a real move of God. We sense when he's moving. And I'll tell you, I said to Pastor Sam, I just stayed praying because I thought what was going to happen from pre-service, that God was going to move. And I still believe he's going to move, but he didn't move with what I saw the way I saw that he was going to move. Come on. Come on, somebody. And so I'm like sitting there. I really didn't think I was going to be preaching today. But we're going to let God move however he wants to move in this place, right? We're never going to make it up, shake it up, do any of that. When he says, here's where I'm going, we're going to go. We're right behind you. Whatever you want to do, Lord. That's why we had those two services in a row where the Holy Spirit just fell. As Cade says, will you do me a favor? I'm asking you today, will you do me a favor? Will you do us a favor and trust that your pastors are going to go where God says? Know that we love you guys so much, and the Lord loves you. And so, like I said earlier in the message, it's for us. It's for all of us to get what we need. Number four, steward rest. Pastor Rich says amen because he takes a nap every day about 4 o'clock. 3 or 4, whatever. Steward rest. God commanded. He didn't say, oh, would you just steward rest? No, he commanded to honor the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, if you didn't honor the Sabbath, guess what happened? Death. You're dead because you didn't honor the Sabbath. And you guys, we still have death consequences today. It's not a physical death, but I can assure you that when you don't steward your rest and you don't steward your Sabbath, what ends up happening is your relationships begin to die. What ends up happening is your energy begins to die. Your attitude begins to die. I can always tell when it's time for me to take a rest because I get frustrated about everything. And when that's there, I'm like, okay, I must take a step back. And hangry too. And guess what else it makes die? Your peace. When you don't rest, you have no peace. We all need Sabbath. We all need rest, or what happens is we become a cancer to our families and even the body of Christ. And one thing we say to servant leaders all the time, if you need to take a break, we care more about your heart than we ever care about your gift. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, God, refresh me. You know, Pastor Rich, and I are not good examples of that. We're working to be better examples of that. We don't take enough time to rest. And we do that for a few reasons. Number one, we hate to miss Sunday morning, don't we? We hate not being here on a Sunday. We're going to go to the beach. Yes, we will, but we hate missing. And then we begin to feel guilty when we miss. There are unrealistic expectations put on pastors across the globe. Like, that, it's just crazy. And sometimes we put it on ourselves. I find that for me, I put a lot of weight on myself. But you guys, we keep seeing the consequences of pastors not taking the time to rest. If you're not good in your rest, you begin to fall into temptation. So, everybody just raise your right hand. Say, I will rest. We give you permission to take rest. And we want you to rest, right? And let's just think about Jesus for a second. Jesus would minister to the thousands. And then he would slip away from the thousands. And he would slip away from his discipleship. And he would slip away from the work of the ministry for a time of refreshment with his Father. Listen, if you don't take time to rest, the work of God you are doing will kill the work of God in you.
That's good.
I love Matthew 11. And I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible. It says, beginning in verse 28, it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Rest brings clarity. Rest restores your passion. I bet Amy came back from the beach all passionate with her passion restored. It's what happens to you. Your passion gets reset and rest brings you back to life. We can't love Louisville to life if we're not loved to life. And that's what I feel. I'm going to ask them to dim the lights and I'm not going to ask you to stand yet. But I am going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm not going to pray the prayer today. You're going to pray the prayer. I want you to ask the Lord to highlight any area and to speak to you about what you need to steward better so you can handle the weight of the wind. And if it's your soul today, I'm going to ask that you step out of your seat and come and let the Holy Spirit encounter you. As we press, he falls on us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.